Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome again to Food for the Journey. I'm going to do something just a little bit different here. I'm going to read through, without commentary, I'm going to read through the readings for today. So just at this moment, just listen carefully. And then I want to go to Father Simon's commentary here on this section, and just want you to ponder it. And I think if I do it in this order, it could be the best for you. So the first reading is taken from Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 11, verses 1 to 11. Brothers and sisters, if only you would put up with a little foolishness from me, please put up with me. For I am jealous of you with the jealousy of God, since I betrothed you to one husband to present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. He's using marital terms here, but he's speaking how much he desired to bring them to the Lord, to wed them as God's people to their Savior and their Redeemer. Please put up with me, he says, for I am jealous of you with the jealousy of God, since I betrothed you to one husband to present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I am afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his cunning, your thoughts may be corrupted from a sincere and pure commitment to Christ. That's true for all of us. That's true for all of us. The devil can worm his way in. He's a master of lying, so that we find ourselves thinking things and saying things that simply are not according to the gospel. They're not true. How God sees you, God's mercy, God's kindness, God's love for you, all those things. The enemy tries to lie to us to say we're the exception. Other people may be loved, but not me. I am afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his cunning, your thoughts may be corrupted from a sincere and pure commitment to Christ. For if someone comes and preaches another Jesus than the one we preached, or if you receive a different spirit from the one you received, or a different gospel from the one you accepted, you put up with that well enough. For I think that I am not in any way inferior to these, quote, super apostles. Even if I am untrained in speaking, I am not so in knowledge. In every way, we have made this plain to you in all things. So Paul here is just pleading with them. I know I might not be as eloquent. I know that I might not be as good as this or that person, but I've given you the purity of the gospel. Please hear. Did I make a mistake when I humbled myself so that you might be exalted? Because I preached the gospel of God to you without charge? I plundered other churches by accepting from them in order to minister to you. And when I was with you and in need, I did not burden anyone, for the brothers who came from Macedonia supplied my needs. So I refrained and will refrain from burdening you in any way. By the truth of Christ in me, this boast of mine shall not be silenced in the regions of Achaia. And why? Because I do not love you? God knows I do. So Paul's experiencing here people speaking against him or thinking he's not as good as this person or that person, or I like these people more than him, when actually Paul was the most given. But all they could see were his weaknesses, at which they were pretty vocal in pointing out to him. But look at where's Paul's heart is. I love you, and God knows I love you. He's speaking out of love, and he will prevail, but he went through difficult times too. Psalm 111, your works, O Lord, are justice and truth. I will give thanks to the Lord with all my heart in the company and assembly of the just. Great are the works of the Lord, exquisite in all their delights. Majesty and glory are his work. His justice endures forever. He has won renown for his wondrous deeds. Gracious and merciful is the Lord. The works of his hands are faithful and just. Sure are all his precepts, reliable forever and ever, wrought in truth and equity. God's love is gracious. God's love is poured out for every single person. His justice endures forever. You can trust him. It's what the psalm is telling. Your works, O Lord, are justice and truth. That's where we want to live. We want to live in God's justice and God's truth, not in man's own version, but God's. That's why reading the scripture is so important, that you may understand, that you may receive, that your own life may be changed. In the Gospel of Matthew chapter 6, verses 7 to 15, Jesus said to his disciples, "In praying, do not babble like the pagans, who think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them. Your Father knows what you need before you ask him." This is how you are to pray. Our Father, acknowledge him as Father, who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. May your name be honored. May your kingdom come, not mine. May your will, not mine, be done. On earth as it is in heaven, give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us, this is the dangerous part of this prayer, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. In other words, forgive me the way I forgive others. Pay attention to that. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And then Jesus says, if you forgive others their transgressions, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, neither will your Father forgive your transgressions. It's pretty serious, brothers and sisters. It doesn't mean you have to have all the emotion that goes, "Oh, yes, 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 I forgive you." You make a decision. It's a decision to do what is right, and your emotions will catch up. Now, there's a lot to be said about that, and I've spoken in many programs about it. So if this is the first time you're hearing me, look at other programs that I've done on forgiveness. Remember, always remember what John Paul said, that forgiveness is not the opposite of justice. It's not the opposite of justice. If you need to sue for what is rightfully yours, you can. It's the motive. It's the intention. Do you want to punish and destroy, or do you sue in order that the person may wake up and change his or her life? What's your motivation? John Paul said forgiveness is not the opposite of justice. It is the opposite of resentment and revenge. Memorize that. Brothers and sisters, often I have read from Merikakis, that was his name, but he's now known as Father Simon. And so from now on, I'm going to be referring to him as Father Simon. And he has written so much that is so helpful. And I want to read a portion to you of what he said about the Lord's Prayer, the prayer that we're just reading. Let's take a look at what he says. Accumulation of arguments, flattering phrases, idle gossip, grandiose sentences with little content. What place has any of this in the serene conversation that ought to be the prayer between child and father, lover and beloved? The inner cellar of my soul is a setting that at once paralyzes the tongue intent on noisemaking. The Lord is wise in first prescribing a change in location from street corner to inner storeroom, because here certain things automatically look ridiculous. Here talk ought to be as sparse as water dripping slowly into a deep well. The echo lasts longer than the sound because the drops fall at wide intervals. Words that really count, words that are stored up eternally, are always the product of a slow distillation. Words easily become a self-defense, a shield against the naked encounter of love. We want to substitute the shapeless moans and sighs that express our utter dependency on God with reasonable, logical formulations. That's called wordiness. And he's telling us, That is, Father Simon is telling us, when you pray, when we pray the Lord's Prayer, we need to pray it and mean it, not just babble the words. And Father goes on to say, communicating information to God cannot be the purpose of Christian prayer. Would he be the all-wise if he needed to be informed? Your Father knows what you need before you ask him. The purpose of Christian prayer is to enter here and now into a deeper and ever more real relationship with God, to enter into his presence and abide there. And that's one of the works of the Holy Spirit to help us accomplish that. Christian prayer is a movement of the Spirit from a place where I am far from God to a place where I am near him, before his very face, and with my head resting on his bosom. Thus, prayer does not primarily have to do with any kind of mental exchange, but with a proximity of hearts, in other words, with love. Only in this context may I proceed to ask God for what he already knows I need. But do I know what I need? The entrusting to God the judgment of my real needs, therefore, is the heart of the prayer of request. For a Christian, asking God for specific things is optional. What is not optional is entering into silence and solitude of heart into his presence. The possibility for the Christian to attain to this silence of soul and purity of intention is not the result of ascetical training or any other kind of Platonic purification. Interior silence and the ability to love God in nakedness of spirit are gifts given by the Father himself in his Son's revelation. He knows what you need before you ask him. This brief text contains the whole basis for a Christian's trust and hope, his certitude concerning God's foreknowledge. God knows even before you know, and knows the answer before you know. His certitude concerning God's foreknowledge in love, his prayer, far from being an effort to inform God of anything he does not yet know, is the crucial entering of the Christian into the lived reality of his trust in God. I can come to him and know that he knows everything and knows it better than I do, and pour out my heart to him. We can enter into the lived reality of his trust in God, his passing from a condition of uncertitude and anxiety to a firm state of soul in which all his tendency to calculate and to ensure his own welfare gradually yields to the encompassing presence of God's providence. He gradually wants what God wants and acknowledges in his heart that good comes from God. And then you pray the Lord's Prayer. Think about what's here today. Replay this. Go to our website. Replay it. Brothers and sisters, God has so much for you. God bless you. For a free copy of my latest booklet, The Mercy of God and the Joy Repentance Brings, please call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.